Something coming faster than any of us can imagine and will change our lives in the most dramatic ways is AI.
And while AI used to sound freaky to me and just something that was going to take over my world, it really would have revolutionized my practice had I stuck around. Many of you know, I got so burnt out from charting. It was the big reason I left medicine because I was frustrated with the EMRs, the clunkiness, and the amount of time it took to learn them. Not only that, but not being able to sit and connect with a patient and look them in the eye, like one-on-one while you're actually interacting with them, the whole reason we went into medicine, not to do paperwork.
Yeah, so that's why May and I have started working with Lindy.ai, which is fascinating. They help you produce the most efficient notes, fully customizable, which is different than some other AI products, so you can do what you do best, which is see patients and let the artificial intelligence scribe do the dirty work for you.
Yeah, not only do you get the perfect patient notes the way you want, written in any format, for whatever specialty you're in, and maybe you're in ophthalmology or vet medicine, it will also create the note, scribe and send the patient follow-up instructions, referral letters, consultation notes. It's amazing. Lindy is offering our listeners a 7-day trial to experience the difference of their AI medical scribe. Go sign up at lindy.ai/bsfree to get started. That is Lindy, lindy.ai/bsfree.
Finally, a source of raw, real, and honest information on healthcare issues that matter most. Welcome to BS Free MD. From the latest medical information to how to stay sane as a doctor or a patient, no subject is taboo, no BS is allowed. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh.
All right, we are back for another truth bomb. I'm tempted to change this to truth BALM, a healing salve for your soul. Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh. May, what are we talking about?
Oh, well, before I dive into what makes a good life, because that's what we're talking about, I thought you were going to try to do a little sell off for a healing bomb. You dropped a little hint.
Yes, I have started using F bomb. F for freedom from the tallowed truth.
And that would be bomb with a B-A-L-M.
It is beef tallow, and I slather it all over my body, and it is unbelievable for your skin. And a little tiny bit goes a long, long way.
Yeah. And truth be told, he is judiciously and faithfully putting it on his face, his under eye bags every night before bed, in addition to his flossing routine. And seriously, it is making a difference in his skin. And I'm using it on mine as well as my forehead because I have severely dry skin. It is literally healing that up. So.
Plus I spend a tremendous amount of time in the Tampa Bay.
Yes. So
blasting around
in the salt sun. Getting windburned, sunburned, yes, and sea salted. So this is our shout out to the Tallowed Truth and your F-bomb. We love it, and we would love to advertise more for you. Check it out, everybody. Find them on Instagram and online.
And they're not communists.
Yes, you'll see their message. Total freedom lovers. All right, today we are talking about something that has really been an inspiration to me. And of course, as you know, I am a fan of Mel Robbins. I follow her podcasts and her stuff and her posts and have for a long time. She's so uplifting and inspiring and real, and I love it. She had on her show a guest, and he is actually Dr. Robert Waldinger, an MD from Harvard.
Harvey Waldinger.
He's from Harvard Medical School and someone I would
love. Harvard Waldinger. I would like a Harvard Waldinger, okay, please.
So now that you've made fun of his name and I'd like to get him on the show, let's move on.
Whoopsie.
We're not doing docktails, Tim.
I know, but I can't
save it for
myself
tomorrow. So what makes a good life? That's basically why he was on the show talking to Mel, and there was an amazing study done that where they actually looked at, and it was a long-term study that looked at the lives of people started back in 1938, and this Harvard study of adult development followed people for 86 years and is the longest study that has ever been done on happiness, relationships, and the human experience. And I believe he said that, I think it was RFK was in it. Could have been JFK until...
One of the FKs.
Yes, one of the... and a couple of other celebrities. Anyhow, the thing was fascinating to listen to and the findings. Some things not so surprising, others more so. I really think you should listen to it. But I'm kind of stealing her thunder and sharing it with you today because what we think will make us happy and give us a great life, it's not all that. So a couple key takeaways.
You mean it's not sex, vodka, and Harleys?
Pretty close. So number one is that the most important thing, of course, is relationships. It's the quality of your relationships and the number of encounters you have actually with people that in the end of the day improves your day-to-day life as well as your life throughout. I found it totally fascinating that encounters with strangers was so important that even if, you know, you're an introvert and you just are on a business trip and you're getting out and you're in the elevator and you talk to some strangers, say good morning, strike up a conversation, that when they studied these people, they found that their mood and then how they perceived the day and how it was going was better just from even interacting with strangers. And multiple encounters with people throughout the day is even more positive. So yes, Tim, all those encounters that you have with 50 plus patients a day in the urgent care is actually a good thing, even when...
No, I would agree.
Even on the days when you feel like they're just difficult or demanding. And I would say...
Yeah, but in totality...
I would say that I noticed that I really missed that. And for me, in this new land that I'm living, if I get out of the house and I just go to the store across the street, whether it's Publix or the Goodwill, and just encounter with some people, my attitude is so much better. So it's actually encounters, whether you're an introvert, extrovert, just dialoguing and being with people every single day. Now, the next thing, of course, is quality of relationships. And of course, if you are in a very intimate relationship with someone, you're married, you have a long-term partner, spouse, that connection is very important. But they found that you could get the same effect from a best friend that you met with regularly, that you set up a time to talk with them, or other people in your life that you would call your 4 a.m. friends that are there in any type of crisis where you have that security and relationship where you know that you can count on them for anything. So that is also extremely important. And so I found that, you know, not surprising, but like I said, with what we're going through with our move and not having made a lot of friends, although great acquaintances with neighbors, the importance of even just encountering anybody day to day is so important to your mental health. And then obviously taking those relationships deeper and finding a group where you can get out. So how do you do that? That was another takeaway of how do you make friends if you've moved, you're in a new place. The important thing is to do something that you love and start doing it with other people who do the same thing. So whether it's a gardening group, it's your kite surfing buddies, Tim, whether it's a Bible study, whether you're into quilting, whether you're into golf or pickleball or cards or writing books, find your like people, put yourself out there and share those experiences with them. That's how you make friends with like-minded things. And it goes from there. So that was another important takeaway. Finally, there's so much more, but ultimately...
Were there any surprises?
There are surprises. And, you know, the big, I think, surprise, not a big surprise, but they talked a lot about money as far as happiness levels. And really, the gist of it is that money really than stuff. And that's not a really big surprise. Didn't make anybody any happier other than the people that really needed their basic needs met. So it was pretty much as long as you weren't worrying about a roof over your head and putting food on the table for yourself, your family, the money didn't really matter. It was the experiences and the memories, and that people who spent money on an experience ended up having positive memories and more happiness last longer. So whether you're going to a baseball game, going to watch the opera, spending money on a trip, obviously, or even something smaller. Yeah,
but I have a lot of friends.
Like playing poker with your buddies. That was more important than the buying the t-shirt, buying the cars, buying the stuff.
I don't know, call bullshit on that. I have a lot of friends that I've made purely because of cars and Harleys.
And doesn't mean you have to buy them. You can just talk about them.
No, you can't.
Or you can ride them together.
No, you can't. That's completely stupid.
Well,
you have to own them. You have to build them. They have to become part of who you are. And then you share that with other people. It's what I've talked about forever. It hit me when we were, you know, in medical school and we're watching football with a bunch of friends. And I said, why is this so cool? Is it because it's football? Well, no, we all like it. It's because football was a platform for relationship. And, you know, we go on these trips and everyone's like, yeah, it's about the relationship. But if there was no platform, there would be no relationship. If there was
no, you could never buy the cars. I'm just saying the N plus one, where N is the current number of cars.
No,
N plus one being the number that you need.
No, I don't disagree with that. There's clearly,
yeah,
you could have one car or one motorcycle and be in the hobby and have just as much fulfillment as having or more than like the Jay Leno collection with a gazillion. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But, you know, the idea that.
And so here's the next
money
thing.
Doesn't buy you happiness, but if you do it right and you're financially savvy, as we've talked about on numerous shows, it buys you a tremendous amount of freedom, which allows you to do those other things like.
Yes. So he did get into that. And he did say that people that had a comfortable amount of money did feel less stressed and were more free. But overall, it was the.
Right. I think I mean, my guess is I haven't listened to this, so I'm talking completely out of my ass, but you guys should be used to it by now. Is
now the ever
persistent accumulation of more clearly doesn't make anybody happy.
No. And it wasn't just goods. And what's the word I'm looking for? Materialistic things. It's also the pursuit of the next level of the career, always reaching for the next thing, and the outward appearance of I must do this to like look better, and the social media thing because everyone else's curtains are blue and I need it. Really doesn't matter at the end of the game. And he also goes into the people that are also the healthiest when you're 80 compared to your cohorts also is reflective in those things as the relationship. So people tend to have less dementia, less heart disease, diabetes, chronic illnesses, who have lived a life with quality relationships and positive things. So there's so much more in that episode. I really want everyone to listen to it, and I love to have them on the show. So we will try to do that. But that is
Harvard Wallbanger.
Yeah. So that's on the Mel Robbins podcast from Thursday of that would be last week.
She doesn't number her episodes. No. Does she know nothing about podcasts?
They don't. So it's called What Makes a Good Life? Lessons from the Longest Study on Happiness. Thank you, Mel. She's so uplifting. And that's.
Well, it's interesting because if you tie this into what Gad Sad says in his book, The Sad Truth About Happiness, and you know, he's the evolutionary biologist, great guy to listen to. He talks about number one is your life partner. Like if you want to be happy, if you just kind of break it down into big pieces, number one is your life partner. If you have a really super high quality partner that feels like a partner, not just a roommate. Number two is a job that allows you to have flexibility and creativity. That's a huge deal. So where you feel like you're not just, you know, getting hammered by the man, you actually have some autonomy and some creativity. And it doesn't have to be a high level job. It's creativity and autonomy are super important. And so when you think of that from a business perspective, you're owning a business and you give people the ability to create something, build something of themselves into your business, and you give them autonomy, they're going to stick around regardless, you know, of wages.
On that note, I think you need to give me space in the garage condo to be creative and do my furniture refinishing.
Well, that will be...
that will make me happy.
Be another negotiation.
One less car, one more sanding tool.
No, you can't sand in there.
And on that note, come back when we have a open air argument and discussion and show you how we problem solve. Until next time, bombs away.
It's no secret that medicine is a bit uptight. That's why Tim and I created BS Free MD, to mix things up a little and have fun in the process. Besides, we are having these exact same discussions all the time, so we thought we might as well invite everyone to the party. If you really like us, you can get plenty more and maybe see one of Tim's cool tattoos on our Instagram or Facebook pages at BS Free MD. See you next time.
While we try to keep BS Free MD as raw and real as possible, we can't be held responsible for any medical decisions or discussions had as a result of what you've heard on the show. We know, bummer. But the truth is, we really do care about your questions. So feel free to reach out to us by email at doc@bsfreemd.com.